Revenge. Elijah swept his arm in a wide arc towards the slaves bending over the cotton field in the boiling afternoon sun. "Dey neber finish pickin' de field tonight, massa," he said. "They did a field larger than this in a day's time last week," Ichabod Kirsten growled. "Why can't they do this one?" "But last week cooler, massa. Days not like machines. What don't mind the sun?" His brown eyes gazed steadily into Ichabod's face. "Come," Kirsten ordered. Elijah followed his master to a thatched canopy at the edge of the field. He ducked as he stepped under the shelter. From the low hilltop where they stood, Kirsten surveyed the fields of the plantation that stretched in the distance on every side. "And how," he demanded, "are we going to get all these fields harvested before the rains come if those lazy slaves can't move in a little heat?" He squared his shoulders and scowled at Elijah. "But massa buy de small plantation to the south last winter," Elijah replied. "De slaves dat do de work last year cannot do all dat too dis year. Massa must buy more slaves." Ichabod spat on the ground. "How many?" he snapped. "Massa need at least 20 more slaves." 20 more mouths to feed," Kirsten muttered. "Might as well not have bought the Jeremiah Williams place." He looked at Elijah. "Okay, we'll go into town tomorrow and get them. I want you along." "Yes, massa." Just then a young girl emerged from the fields dragging a bag of cotton behind her. She struggled in front of the shelter towards a wagon standing nearby. Elijah sprang to her side. "Elijah help you with that cotton." The girl smiled. Picking up her sack, Elijah dumped the load into the wagon with the rest of the cotton. Once again, Ichabod spat on the ground and then walked towards the plantation stables. Elijah had been born in Africa. He had already reached manhood when a group of slave drivers led by a stubby African native marched into his village one day. The African helped them snatch up all the able-bodied young men and haul them in chains to the ships. The faces of the white slave traders soon faded from Elijah's mind, but he never forgot the cruel African who grew wealthy from the bodies of his own people. Resentment against the man burned in Elijah's heart. The fact that in America he could never gain revenge fanned the bitterness into a passionate hate. At first Elijah avenged his wrath on his new master, a short man who, in spite of the color of his skin, reminded him of his enemy. Slouching around the plantation, he arrived at work late and did no more than he absolutely had to. He snarled and glared and threatened every time Kirsten got after him. Elijah did everything in his power short of open rebellion to oppose his master. Kirsten almost never ventured out alone after dark, and Elijah sensed it was because his master secretly feared him. But in time Elijah came under the influence of Christian slaves, who taught him to love his enemies. Gradually a change came over him. He pitied the weaker slaves, especially the young and the elderly, and he learned to respect his master, who over the years entrusted more and more of the management of the estate to his care. The slave still retained a sense of superiority over the white man, but he felt a certain pride with his master for the success of the plantation. In the market the next day, Kirsten strode up and down the lines of slaves with Ahab, the slave dealer. "Elijah, I want you to choose slaves you can manage, strong men who can work hard." A moment later, Elijah motioned to a tall, rugged black man with muscular arms. When the Negro stepped from the line, Ahab grunted, $75. Elijah chose a slave with a pitted face, another with smooth, lean muscles, and a youngster barely into his teens, but who stood tall and strong already. Ahab called off the price of each one. Moving down the line, Elijah came upon an old man, thin and slightly bent. He stopped and studied him carefully. The aging slave shuffled, fixing his eyes on the ground. For a second, Elijah started to move on, then he suddenly turned around and motioned the old man out of the line. "Not him," Kirsten growled. Elijah turned to his master. "Massa tell me to choose who I want, but he can't even earn his own food. I want that black man." Ahab stepped forward. "Since you're buying 20 slaves, I'll let you have the old man for nothing," he volunteered. Kirsten grunted. "I guess you will, to get him off your hands." He nodded to Elijah, "Get going." 15 minutes later, the slave driver handed Kirsten a paper with the names of 21 slaves, written in bold black letters. Kirsten took it and scanned it a moment, then reached for the pen that Ahab held out. "Aye, Kirsten," he scrawled with a flourish at the bottom. He watched Elijah talk to the slaves on the way home, especially to the old man Simeon. "Look," Ichabod said to Elijah when they reached the plantation, "it's enough that I bought the wretch. I don't want you wasting all your time on him. If he can't produce, leave him alone." Elijah said nothing. Later, Kirsten watched him show the new slaves to their quarters. He noticed that Elijah took Simeon to his own cabin and spent several extra minutes making him comfortable. Just then the plantation owner's wife called him to dinner. Ichabod spat on the ground and walked inside. "Sentimental slave," he muttered as he sat down to the table. "I think Elijah's very kind," his wife protested after he explained what he meant. "He certainly has changed in the past few years." "It's a good thing he's learned to be so responsible about the place," Kirsten muttered, "or I wouldn't have him. I never saw anyone make such a fuss over a creature as he's doing over that Simeon. The old man's as useful as an antique." Every spare minute Elijah spent caring for Simeon. Scouring the place for scrap lumber, he built him a bunk in his own hut. He sewed together a cotton pad that was better than anything any of the other slaves had to sleep on. Kirsten noticed that Simeon went about in some of Elijah's own clothes, and nights he could see Elijah sewing garments by the dim light of a candle in his hut. At the evening meals, Elijah always saw that Simeon received the best of everything, even if it meant that he himself had to do with a little less. It all seemed a bit silly to Kirsten till one day Elijah showed up late for work. But he picked cotton that day like Kirsten had never seen a slave do before. Sometimes he brought in a bag an hour. When he wasn't picking cotton, he was helping the other slaves drag theirs in to weigh it and organizing them to pick the fields more efficiently. Once he even helped the water boy pass water around, and always he spoke encouraging words that seemed to make all the slaves move faster. On the third day, Kirsten noticed that Elijah labored harder than ever, but he seemed to have a subdued attitude about him. He still spoke encouragingly to the other slaves, but his voice seemed more quiet and more urgent. "Is it because he's afraid the rains will overtake us?" Kirsten wondered. The plantation owner knew that already the rains were overdue a week, and still a week's work remained to get in all the cotton. But Elijah quit work early that evening and went to his hut. The next morning he showed up even later than before. Still Kirsten said nothing, but when he looked for Elijah at noon, and someone told him that he had gone to his hut, he decided he had to do something. He stalked off in the direction of the slave quarters. Entering the dark hut from the bright sunshine, Kirsten could scarcely see. "Elijah," he called. "Yes, massa, I be here." Ichabod peered in the direction from which the voice came. In the dim light, he could barely make out the dark form of Elijah kneeling on the floor beside a bunk. Simeon lay on it, moaning. "Elijah, what does this mean?" Ichabod demanded. "You're supposed to be working in the fields." "Yes, massa, but Simeon, he's a very sick slave." By now Ichabod's eyes had adjusted to the dark. He could see Elijah sponging the old man's forehead with a damp cloth. "Simeon isn't a slave," Kirsten retorted. "I told you not to get him." "But, massa, he a man, a sick man, what needs my help? I be out in de fields again as soon as I cool his face." Anger flashed in Kirsten's eyes. "Who is this slave, anyway?" he demanded. "Why are you so anxious to take care of him? Is he your father?"
"No, massa, he not be my father."
"Then he must be your brother or your uncle."
"No, massa, he not my brother, and he not my uncle."
"He's a friend, then."
"No, massa, he not my friend. Simeon be my enemy."
"Your what?"
"Yes, massa, he my enemy. And de Lord Jesus, he say to love our enemy and do them good."
Elijah paused. "Dis Simeon, he be de man what sold me to de slave traders many years ago, when I a free man in my village in Africa. Now I finds him and does him good, like de good books say." Ichabod's face paled. He stammered and choked and stumbled out of the hut into the light.